Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gottsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, The Hardball Times, Sporting News, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at Stace Gotts. We also have an Instagram account at Locked On Yankees, all one word. And you can find me on Locker Room at Stace Gotts. If you're a new listener, hello, welcome to the show. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoyed today's episode. We will be previewing the big three-game series against the Toronto Blue Jays. In case you didn't know, the AL East is a very tight contest. Well, all right, if you don't count the Orioles, but the top four teams are in a tight contest right now, and this is a big matchup between the Yankees and the Blue Jays. So we'll have previews of all three games, other baseball-related business to discuss, and more. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. So the Yankees had a much-needed off day yesterday, although as much as I couldn't wait for the off day, I was so bored last night without there being a game. But there's a game tonight, and Corey Kluber will be returning to the mound for the first time since his no-hitter in Texas. Not only that, he was co-AL Player of the Week along with Spencer Turnbull because, as you know, they both threw no-hitters in back-to-back nights. So Kluber's back on the mound against the Blue Jays and Steven Matz. Steven Matz is coming off a rough outing against the Red Sox, and he's still looking to stabilize things after he had a good April but a cold May. He's currently 5-2 with a 4.69 ERA with 50 strikeouts. Kluber is 4-2 with a 2.86 ERA, also with 50 strikeouts on the year. As for matchups, Miguel Andujar has faced Steven Matz six times. He's batting 500 with a home run and three runs batted in. The person who's faced Matz the most is DJ LeMahieu, 10 times, and he's batting 600. Although LeMahieu seems to be banged up because he's been kind of on and off the past few days, so we'll see if he's even in tonight's game. Gary Sanchez has faced him 9 times. He's only batting 111, but he has a home run and 3 runs batted in. As for the Blue Jays against Kluber, Bo Bichette is batting 400 in 5 at-bats. Vlad Jr. is batting 667 in 3 at-bats. Not a very big sample size, but Marcus Semien is the only one that has a notable number of at-bats against Kluber, 14, and he's batting 214. So it'll be interesting to see how Kluber does after the no-hitter, because in some cases, guys have a bit of a letdown, and then you have other instances where guys go out their next start and keep no-hitting people for a while. So you never know what might happen. The Blue Jays are coming off a sweep against the Rays, as in they were swept by the Rays, because the Rays have won, I believe, 11 games in a row now. So, yeah, they're reeling a little bit coming into this series, while the Yankees are coming into this series on a bit of a roll with that off day interrupting it. Now, the Blue Jays-Rays series was a four-game series, so the Rays swept them in four games, and the games were close. Yesterday's game went into extra innings, and then the Rays erupted for 7 runs in the 11th inning to win. I believe they're in Dunedin still. Yeah, no, they're still down in Dunedin. I'm not sure when the Blue Jays are going to be up in Buffalo, but the Rays actually pulled ahead of the Red Sox for first place in the AL East. It's a scant lead, but it's the first time they've been in first place in the AL East since April 3rd. Of course, the season only began in the very beginning of April, so that doesn't mean anything. It also doesn't mean anything that the Rays have the best record right now, because it matters if you have the best record at the end of the regular season. I saw a lot of tweets yesterday. remarking about what they're doing. And I'm not going to sneeze at an 11-game winning streak. That is unbelievable. And to sweep the Blue Jays in four, it's not easy to sweep a four-game series. Ask Aaron Boone and the Yankees. So that's impressive. They seem to have gone on their roll after they lost 2 out of 3 to the Yankees. It's funny how that works. Tomorrow's matchup is not set. Domingo Germán is pitching, because that's the order in which the Yankees' rotation goes, but it's to be determined for the Blue Jays pitcher. Now, as for Germán against the Blue Jays, the person who's faced him the most, there are two. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. has faced him 11 times. He's batting .273. Marcus Semien has faced him 11 times. He's batting .364. Randall Grichuk is only hitting .125 in 8 at-bats, but one of those hits, or the one hit, is that how math works, is a home run. Bo Bichette, in 5 at-bats, is batting .400 with a home run. Vlad Jr. has a home run in 7 at-bats, batting .286. As for Germán, he had a very strong pitching performance, as I said on yesterday's show. They've gone a whole turn through the rotation. None of the starters have given up runs. I would imagine that that streak is going to end tonight with Kluber. You never know. But Germán threw 7 scoreless innings against the Rangers in the last game of the series. He allowed 6 hits, did not walk anyone, and struck out 5. He took a loss to Toronto in his season opener way back on April 4th. He allowed 3 runs in 3-plus innings. Oh, yes, they were hitting home runs off him, right? Wasn't it that game? I think I recall that. Let's talk about Kluber winning Player of the Week, because that's pretty cool. You knew it was going to happen. You knew that they would at least name him and Turnbull Player of the Week, because they both threw no-hitters. So that's just really funny. Austin Riley won National League Player of the Week. He plays for the Braves. He hit 6 home runs last week. So on Tuesday, Turnbull no-hit the Mariners. They were no-hit for the second time. It was the 8th no-hitter in Detroit franchise history, the first one since Verlander's back on May 7th, 2011. Wow, that was all the way back in 2011? The 28-year-old is only the 5th pitcher to throw a no-hitter within 2 seasons of leading the major leagues in losses. So he led the league in losses in 2019, and he comes out and pitches a no-hitter in 2021. As for Kluber, you all know it's the Yankees' first no-hitter since David Cone's perfect game, July 18th, 1999. It was his first career no-hitter, and it's his 6th career Player of the Week award for Kluber. And it's the 2nd one this season after winning for the first week of May. And the Yankees have had back-to-back Players of the Week because Aaron Judge won last week. So the Yankees are, you know, doing really well lately. So while this series is a big one in May, which sounds ridiculous, but it is because they're in division and we're getting to the end of May and heading into June, I feel the Yankees are a very different team than the last time they played the Blue Jays. In a moment, we'll look at matchup number 3 in this series, if it exists, because you never know, maybe to be determined, is pitching again on Thursday. But first, investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They have the right tools for every portfolio. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all that investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can more than cover the low annual 0.25 advisory fee. Best of all, it's automatic. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do all the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's WEALTHFORNT.com/lockedonMLB to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB and get started today. If you own a car, you should go to rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Well, hey, wouldn't you know it, Thursday actually has a matchup. It's Robbie Ray against Jordan Montgomery. Jordan Montgomery is coming off a season-best 7 scoreless innings against the White Sox. He did not permit a walk, and he had a career high with 11 strikeouts. He has pitched to a 3.68 ERA in 4 May starts, and he's held opponents to a 6.26 OPS. Robbie Ray has only walked one batter in his past 6 starts. Maybe that's where all of Gerrit Cole's walks went. According to MLB.com, Ray's control is as good as it's ever been, and his strikeout pitches are still working. He is 2-1 with a 3.42 ERA on the season with 55 strikeouts. Montgomery overall is 2-1 with a 4.07 ERA and 52 strikeouts. As for the matchups, DJ LeMahieu has faced Robbie Ray the most, 23 times. He's only hitting .217 against him. Rougned Odor, 8 times, batting .250. The rest of them are all 2s and 3s, so they've only really seen him in one game. As for the Blue Jays against Montgomery, Teoscar Hernandez has faced him 10 times. He's batting a big fat .0. The rest of them haven't really faced him that much. But Vlad Guerrero Jr. has faced him 3 times, and he has 3 hits, including 1 home run. So with the third week of the minor leagues in the books, the Yankees had 2 more prospects make the Prospect Team of the Week by Jonathan Mayo on MLB.com. And it's the third week in a row that they've had 2 players on this list. So if you didn't know anything about the Yankees' lower levels, let me tell you. So Ezekiel Duran of the Hudson Valley Renegades made the list. He's a second baseman. He's batting .320, .346, .680 in 6 games in 25 at-bats. He has 8 hits, 3 runs, 2 doubles, 2 triples, 1 home run, 7 runs batted in, no walks, 5 strikeouts. He also has 2 caught stealings and 1 stolen base. Duran did most of his damage last Wednesday and Thursday. He went a combined 5-for-8 with a double, a triple, a home run, and 4 runs batted in. And he leads the High A East with 3 triples. The second Yankee player on this list is Glenn Otto of the AA Somerset Patriots. He's a right-handed pitcher. He's 1-0, doesn't have an ERA. 1 start, 5 1/3, gave up 2 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 14 strikeouts. That's pretty good. On Thursday, he started off the game striking 8 out of the first 9 batters he faced. He walked the other one. He didn't give up a hit until the 5th, struck out at least 2 in every full inning he pitched. So he's now tied for 4th in the AA Northeast in strikeouts, and his K to walk ratio so far this season is 28-2. Not too shabby. I'm actually excited about the Yankees having their affiliate up in Hudson Valley because it's not that far from my house. Not that I drive, as you know from the rockauto.com live reads that I do all the time. I do not own a car, but my brother does, and we go to baseball games as much as we can, and I'm very excited that we have, I believe the Hudson Valley Stadium is maybe an hour from my house, which isn't bad. Scranton, on a good day, if there's no traffic, is 1.5 hours. I'm not sure how far Somerset is from my house, but it might be the same distance, maybe a little bit longer. So we're pretty lucky where we live. We have teams that we can go and see. Plus, we have the New York Boulders 15 minutes away from our house in Rockland County. So we also have baseball games to see there. Obviously, the Yankees, now that everything's opening up. So I have a feeling that this season is going to be a good one for watching baseball games. Let's hope. So on Friday night, after the Yankees turned that amazing triple play, I saw a crazy stat on Twitter about the Yankees and the White Sox, and it said that the Yankees hadn't turned a triple play against the White Sox since 1917. If you recall, before 2005, that was the last time the White Sox won the World Series. And I was confused for the moment because I had it in my head. I don't know why. Memories get conflated sometimes. And remember that crazy triple play that happened in 2013? It was toward the beginning of the season. Kevin Youkilis was involved. Remember when he was on the Yankees? CeCe was on the mound. For some reason, I had it in my head that it was against the White Sox. And I don't know why, but it was actually against the Orioles. So when I saw that stat, I was confused for a moment. And then I looked it up on YouTube and thought, oh, that's right. It's the Orioles. It wasn't the White Sox. But that's still an insane stat. I know triple plays aren't one of those things you see too often. I actually saw an unassisted triple play in person. Unfortunately, it was against the Yankees and by Randy Velarde back in, was that 1999 or 2000? 2000. Memorial Day 2000. Andy Pettit pitched the game. The Yankees won, but Velarde made the triple play. Even better, I was at the game the night before. The Yankees had played the Red Sox. It was that infamous Pedro Clemens Sunday night battle that I believe Trot Nixon hit a two-run home run in the top of the ninth against Clemens, and that's how the Red Sox won. I ended up going out that night and partying with my friends because I was in my mid-20s and could still do that, and I didn't care that I had a 1 o'clock game to attend the next day. Big mistake on my part. That was not a fun car ride, nor was it a fun subway ride to Yankee Stadium. And the smell of hot dogs made me want to retch the entire game. I was so hungover that when he made the triple play, Randy Velarde, it took me at least 2 minutes to realize what the hell happened. And the guys who sat behind me in our old seats were just laughing at how wrecked I was that day. But yeah, the Yankees came back after that heartbreaker the night before and won the game, even though they had a triple play made against them. Wow, so I've seen an unassisted triple play and a no-hitter. I've seen a ton of walk-offs. I've seen a division-clinching win. I've seen a pennant-clinching win. Still have not seen a World Series-clinching win. Hi, I need that to happen soon. In a moment, more Yankees talk, but first, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. As you know, baseball season is in full swing. We're almost in June, and you can track all the action on BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as the playoffs roll on in the NHL and NBA. Head to the website or use your mobile device and sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. It feels like I haven't spoken about Built Bar in a while, so here I am, talking about Built Bar. They have 9 delicious flavors, including the occasional limited time flavor. Right now, that's birthday cake. And as I've told you many times, it's really good, kind of messy, but really good. And if you don't know all the Built Bar flavors, well, you're missing out on coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. So there's something for everyone. They're covered in chocolate. They're so delicious. They taste like they're bad for you, but they're not. My favorite, as I always say, is mint brownie. It's mint and chocolate is one of my favorite combinations. It's been like that since I'm a kid. And if I could eat mint brownie Built Bars every day for the rest of my life, I honestly would be very happy. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, 130 calories. The others have 18 grams of protein, 180 calories. You can also make a mixed box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. So if you want to test them out, you can. Go to BuiltBar.com, use our promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. Honestly, I suggest the mixed box, and you and your family can try out the flavors and see what you like, and then you can order whatever you want. Again, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So I was looking at some headlines, and you know when you look at one and you only see a few words, so it changes the entire headline for you? Okay. It says, MLB rumors, Jay Bruce unretiring to help injury-depleted Yankees. That's all I saw at first and thought, what? And then the rest of the headline said, or Mets isn't an option. So it's Jay Bruce unretiring to help injury-depleted Yankees or Mets isn't an option. And I thought, oh, my goodness. I can't be the only one that this happens to, where you see certain headlines and you don't read all the words, so they have a completely different meaning to you. Not that I got scared by that, because the other guys are hitting well enough that if they did put Jay Bruce in the lineup, it wouldn't be a big deal. But it just that just cracked me up because I really thought that that could be a thing that would happen. So last week there was some scary injury news because it appeared Zach Britton had a setback because he pitched in a sim game and his elbow was bothering him. And that's the elbow that he had surgery on. But it turns out he could have a rehab assignment soon. They didn't find anything wrong with him. It was just, I guess, general soreness after that sim game, which is a good relief for the Yankees. Although the Yankees bullpen is doing really well without Britton, but it's always good to have Zach Britton in your bullpen. Oh, I can't believe I didn't mention this. How did I not mention this? Maybe because of the weekend, and maybe because the Yankees had such a good weekend in which they swept that series against the White Sox, but Aaron Hicks is having the surgery to repair his torn tendon sheath. He'll be out for months. That's the same injury that Mark Teixeira had twice, and once he treated it with a cortisone shot, and then another time he had to get surgery and he was out for a really long time. So that's just, oh, that can't be a good injury to have, you know, feeling-wise. I mean, your wrist and your, all those bones in there and tendons and everything, just, ugh. Giancarlo Stanton's quad is doing better, and he might return today. Actually, hold on, let me check, because it is kind of late while I'm doing this. My computer was giving me problems, so it's possible the lineup is out. Let me check this. Actually, did my phone go off? Because I have MLB.com on my phone. So it's possible you could see Stanton in the lineup tonight. That's a good thing. I will say, you know, he had that really big streak where he was doing really well and he kind of slowed up a little bit. Then he hurt his calf, quad. I think he hurt his calf a couple of seasons ago. Then Judge has been stepping up, you know, winning AL Player of the Week 2 weeks ago, then Kluber last week, and Judge has been hitting very well still. Gleyber Torres, again, he had an insane series against the White Sox. He's hitting well. Clint Frazier looked pretty good after coming back from his neck injury. He was out for a few games, although his girlfriend posted a picture of them on Twitter, and he was carrying her and kind of bent over carrying her. Now, she's very thin. She's in very good shape, but I joked and said, wasn't his neck bothering him? Be careful. I really can't help but be a mom with these guys. Because of all the injury problems that this team has had the past few years, I get so worried when I see them doing anything out of the ordinary. There's one final thing I'd like to discuss before I go, quickly. Eric Kratz appeared on Curtain Call, which is a Yes Network's podcast, and he said that en route to winning a wildcard spot, the 2018 Rockies, who were defeated by Kratz's Brewers in the NLDS, used a nearly identical sign-stealing system as the infamous 2017 Astros. He said that the only difference was that they used a Theragun to bang on the bench rather than use a trash can. He also hinted that the Dodgers used a scheme of some kind, but he did not name them outright. So, okay, part of me has the feeling that, okay, so they all did it, big deal. But then there's the other part of me that really just wants to hate the Astros from now until the end of time. So all these other teams coming out with these schemes is really bothering me. And you know it's going to come out that the Yankees did something. As angry as CC Sabathia was at the Astros, the Yankees had to have done something at some point. Maybe not in 2017. Maybe in 2018 with, you know, because they did get in trouble for something in 2018. But I just, oh man, a Theragun, that is so funny. Just ramming a Theragun on the bench. Teams will do anything they can to win, and since they can't take steroids anymore, I guess using some sort of elaborate sign-stealing system is the way to go. So to recap, Yankees-Blue Jays big three-game series starts tonight with Corey Kluber against Steven Matz in the Bronx. Kind of excited about this, slightly worried, but it should be okay. For now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Today. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate this podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Tuesday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow. We'll be right back.